Well, I think I really want to thank my Uncle Steve for what he said and for all of the prayers and through all of my life and it was only through the prayers that I'm here and I appreciate the words that my Uncle Steve has said. I appreciate the words in his prayer because anytime I get up to stand in front of people like anyone else, I'm human, I get a little nervous and get a little shaky, but I get going and I think I can do all right. I really appreciate the song my Uncle Jim sang this morning too, because it actually is a perfect fit for what I hope to bring to you this morning, for what I hope to say. And in the song he talked about, the name of the song is He, is that right? And it talks about somewhat in communication with our Lord, and in that song, He forgives us. But we have to initiate, we have to ask for that forgiveness, we have to communicate, we have to talk with our Lord. And to me, it's a perfect fit for what I hope to bring to you this morning. You'll have to excuse me, I'm a little hoarse sometimes this morning. Fighting a cold like much of us are. And if I get a little choked up, you'll understand why. You know, I am very excited to be here. I'm very excited to be able to stand in front of you and to talk to you and to share with you and to serve you. I'm really excited to see all of the young people that we have here today. I'm really excited to see our brother Justin back from school and here visiting us today. I hope I don't embarrass you, Justin, but it's neat to see everyone here. In my sermon today, I really don't have anything real new to present to you. I don't think any of us really can present a lot of new things. I think today, if I had to sum up something that I had to say, it's just kind of back to the basics. I told my mom, when I was first ordained just a few months ago, I told my mom, I said, you know, Mom, I really don't have anything new to say. You know, I don't really have anything new to bring to everyone. I said, it's just kind of back to the basics for me. So I hope you bear with me, and I hope I bring to you a message that God has given to me. You know, my job, I'm involved in marketing in my job, and I market products. I take a product, whether it's a service or whether it's a tangible item, and I take that, and I try to write up the features and benefits of that product. I try to make it look all neat and beautiful, you know, and then I put it in front of the customer, or I put it in front of our salesman, and I say, okay, now go out and sell this. And I've done all the work for you, go out and sell it. Whether it's something they can hold and touch and feel, much like our brother Jason. You know, Jason goes out with a house, you know, and it's something you can see. And you look at it, and he goes, this is great, you know, this driveway is a beautiful driveway, you know. It's got great numbers on the front of the house. And you can touch it, you can see it. We can't always touch it and feel it. But we've been given two guidebooks. When Jason started out in realty school, he had to take some tests. He had to study some books probably to get there. Well, we've been given some books here that we have to study and we have to get to know a little bit. This is really nothing different than reading the scripture. I have maybe a little recipe or a little guide that will help us a little bit in our lives. Five easy steps, and I just want to talk about them. First step, and really throughout all of this, I want to talk about our relationship with God, our relationship with our brothers and sisters, with our family members, our church family, those people that we deal with in the world and our daily jobs. The first step that I have is a relationship with God. It absolutely has to be passionate and real. We have to go to Him with a contrite heart, the contrite spirit. The second step, always trust in God. No matter what we do, trust in God that He is going to provide for us. He is going to help us through all of our lives. It's a lesson that I'm thankful that my parents taught me at a young age. That I can honestly say, I believe God is going to help me through my trials and my temptations. He's going to help me through the times when I need help. The times when I'm close to God and the times when I've run from God and when I've kind of hidden from God and not wanted to be there. The third step, talk with God often. My very first sermon right here in this local, I talked about praying always. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about it. In everything we do, we have to communicate with God, or we cannot have that strength, or we cannot have that help. The fourth step, praise Him in all that He gives, good or bad. We have to praise Him. We have to thank Him for the blessings that He gives to us. And the fifth step, through the first four steps, from the strength that God gives us in those first four steps, we then have to love one another. We have to be kind. Whether it's our brothers and sisters here in the church, or whether it's the people we meet out on the streets. I want to start off right into the first step. And the first step, a relationship with God is passionate and real. Let's go to 3 Nephi, page 628 in the Book of Mormon. And like in my sermon before, I have a lot of scriptures, so bear with me. And if you don't have to turn to all of them, I'll go a little quick to get through them all. But in 3 Nephi, the fourth chapter, starting at the 45th through the 52nd verse. O all ye that are spared because ye are more righteous than they, will ye not now return unto me and repent of your sins and be converted, that I may heal you? Yea, verily I say unto you that if you will come unto me, ye shall have eternal life. Behold, mine arm of mercy is extended towards you, and whosoever will come, him will I receive. And blessed are they which cometh unto me. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and earth, and all things that in them are. I was with the Father from the beginning. I am the Father, and the Father in me. And in me hath the Father glorified his name. I came unto my own, and mine own received me not. And the scriptures concerning my coming are fulfilled. And as many as have received me, to them have I given to become the sons of God. And even so will I to as many as shall believe on my name. For behold, by me redemption cometh, and in me is the law of Moses fulfilled. I am the light and the life of the world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And ye shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away. For I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings. And ye shall offer for sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. Behold, I have come unto the world to bring redemption unto the world, to save the world from sin. Therefore, whoso repenteth and cometh unto me as a little child, him will I receive. For of such is the kingdom of God. Behold, for such I have laid down my life and have taken it up again. Therefore, repent and come unto me, ye ends of the earth, and be saved. We are told so many times throughout the Bible and the Book of Mormon, come to him. Come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. We're commanded to do that. Prior to this part that I'm reading in the third book of Nephi, there was a great storm. There's a storm. I think they said it was 3 days of a storm. And then there was 3 days of great darkness. So great of darkness that not even a match or a light could light a room. They said it was a heavy darkness. I think of that, you know, that would be scary. To think that you're in this darkness. And then you start hearing people around you crying out, Oh Lord, help us. But he says to him, says to the people here, the people that were left over, he says, come to me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Let's go to page 636 in the Book of Mormon. This is 3 Nephi chapter 5. Just a few pages over. The 66th through the 68th verse. And this is from the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm going to come to this probably a little bit later too. And behold, I have given unto you the law and the commandments of my Father, that ye shall believe in me, that ye shall repent of your sins and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Behold, ye have the commandments before you, and the law is fulfilled. Therefore, come unto me and be ye saved. For verily I say unto you that except ye shall keep my commandments, which I have commanded you at this time, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. We're told to come to him. Let's go to Luke, the 10th chapter. And I just want to read one verse there, the 27th verse. And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. You know, I've heard people say that a big fear that people have sometimes is they don't want to be a hypocrite. And I have that same fear. You know, I've heard my dad say that a lot of times. He never wants to be thought of as a hypocrite. I think there's a good example in Job, the 13th chapter. And this is, Job is asking questions here, and he's warning us, I think. Let me go to this real quick. I'm in the 13th chapter of Job, starting at the 9th verse. It is good that he should search you out, or as one man mocketh another, do you so mock him. He will surely reprove if you do secretly accept persons. Shall not his excellency make you afraid, and his dread fall upon you? Your remembrances are like unto ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. Hold your peace, let me alone, that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth, and put my life in mine hand? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. So many times in my life growing up, you know, and everyone knows, I grew up in the church, and I grew up in this local, and this is, you know, it makes me proud to grow up here, for this to be a part of my local that I feel. But so many times in my life, growing up in high school and college, church was not of a priority for me at all. And it was more so of a thing that my mom said, if you're going to live in my house, you're going to be at church on Sunday morning. And in all honesty, that's the way it was for me during that time. And now, I probably missed out on a lot of things. But that was in the back of my mind. But you know, we have to get to a point where we stop running, where we stop hiding from God. God is not going to ask us to do anything that we cannot do. I knew, or I didn't know, I always felt, and I was told in administration one time that I would be, that the Lord had a calling for me one day. I always thought that calling would come some other day down the road. Now, I wanted to serve the Lord, and I wanted to do right, and I wanted to be a good example for my children, but that only went so far. To stand up in front of you, to stand up here and to preach a sermon to you, who am I to do that? I'm a man. I'm a man like any other. And who am I to stand up here and to tell you something? To tell you something different, to tell you something, to read out of the Bible and the Book of Mormon and try to deliver a message to you. I finally just had to tell myself, it's time to quit running, it's time to quit hiding from it. I wasn't running away from church. I wanted to be involved in things at church, but I only wanted to be involved to a certain point, and then I was done. But the Lord tells us that He is not going to give us something that we cannot do. I enjoy getting up and talking in front of people for my job. I enjoy getting up here and talking and delivering a message to you, because it's serving the Lord. But that message, the words that I put down on this paper, the scriptures that I choose to read to you today, the Lord is not going to ask me. He's not going to give me this task unless He knows that I can do it. Now, that doesn't mean that He's just going to deliver it on a silver platter and He's going to say, here it is. Here it is. Run with it. You're good to go. We have to do something with that. We have to cultivate that. And by having a halfway relationship with our Lord, we're not going to get there. I want to move on to my second point. Always trust in God. This is one that I really believe in this. I really honestly believe that I can trust that the Lord and Savior is going to protect us. He's always going to provide for us. We have to ask Him. We have to get down on our knees and we have to say our prayers and we have to ask Him to help us. But if you trust in Him, He will provide. I want to go to Alma, the third chapter, page 314. starting at the 21st verse. And prior to this, Alma is talking here, but Alma's father was taught and saved. He trusted in the Lord God. And let's talk about that a little bit, starting at the 21st verse. Behold, I can tell you, did not my father Alma believe in the words which were delivered by the mouth of Abinadi? And was he not a holy prophet? Did he not speak the words of God, and my father Alma believed them? And according to his faith, there was a mighty change wrought in his heart. Behold, I say unto you that this is all true. And behold, he preached the word unto your fathers, and a mighty change was also wrought in their hearts. And they humbled themselves and put their trust in the true and living God. And behold, they were faithful until the end. Therefore, they were saved. As I thought, and as I was preparing this portion of my sermon, I thought, how do you explain just trusting in God? And I thought, you know, how would I explain that to Trenton? How would I tell him, just trust in God? And I'll be honest with you, it's hard to just explain and put the words out to say, how do you just trust in God? But you just have to, in faith believing, step out and say that you trust in Him. Know that He is going to provide for you. There are examples. Sitting in a Wednesday night prayer service, you hear examples every week of people trusting in God. Going to the reunions, going to the conferences, we hear examples of people trusting in God, and God provides for us. I want to go to page 434, still in Alma, the 17th chapter. And Alma here is talking to his son Helaman. Much like, I'm sure, any father would set their son down and talk to them. I know my dad would set me down sometimes, and it was always kind of that awkward time. You know, he'd set you down, you know, Jeff, we're driving down the road, let's talk, you know. Well, I think this is really no different. He's setting his son down, and he's talking to his son here. In the book of Alma, the 17th chapter, starting at the first verse, "My son, give ear to my words, for I swear unto you that insomuch as you keep the commandments of God, ye shall prosper in the land. I would that ye should do as I have done, in remembering the captivity of our fathers. For they were in bondage, and none could deliver them, except it was the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and he surely did deliver them in their afflictions. And now, O my son, Helaman, behold, thou art in thy youth, and therefore I beseech of thee that thou wilt hear my words, and learn of me. For I do know that whosoever shall put their trust in God shall be supported in their trials, and their troubles, and their afflictions, and shall be lifted up the last day. And I would not that ye think that I know of myself not of the temporal, but of the spiritual, not of the carnal mind, but of God." Trusting in God. Let's go to the 26th chapter of Alma, page 518. Starting at the 99th verse. "And it came to pass that after the Lamanites had fled, and I immediately gave orders that my men which had been wounded should be taken from among the dead, and caused that their wounds should be dressed." Just prior to this, there was a battle, and they were fighting. And these men are, the battle is done, and they're starting to dress the wounds that the people that were wounded in this battle. "And it came to pass that there were 200 out of my 2,060 which had fainted because of the loss of blood. Nevertheless, according to the goodness of God and to our great astonishment, and also the joy of our whole army, there was not one soul of them which did perish. Yea, and neither was there one soul among them which had not received many wounds. And now their preservation was astonishing to our whole army, yea, that they should be spared while there was thousands of our brethren which were slain. And we do justly ascribe to the miraculous power of God, because their exceeding faith in that which they had been taught to believe, that there was a just God, and whosoever did not doubt that they should be preserved by his marvelous power. Now this was the faith of these of whom I have spoken. They are young, and their minds are firm, and they do put their trust in God continually." No matter what we're faced with, I beg you, put your trust in God. Believe that He is going to provide for you. Believe that He is going to help you in everything that we do. I just want to briefly hit just a couple scriptures of examples of not relying wholly on God, not believing that He will provide for us. I want to go into Matthew, the 8th chapter. The 23rd verse. And this is from the Sermon on the Mount. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon the rock. Make sure I'm reading, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong chapter. One page over. Starting at the 23rd verse again, I'm sorry, in chapter 8. And when he entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? I mean, think of that. If you're in a boat, and Jesus is right there with you, and you know that you've seen the blessings that he has provided for people, and he's asleep. And I'm thinking, if I was in that place, I would probably go wake him up myself and ask him to help us. I mean, doesn't everyone else think they probably would? I mean, deep down inside. And he says, O ye of little faith, why are ye fearful? He's going to provide for us. To put myself in their shoes, I probably would have done the same thing, in all honesty. I want to move on to the third point that I had. And I want to talk with God often. I want to go to Helaman in the Book of Mormon, page 552, the second chapter. Through the 31st. And in the 51st year, the reign of the judges, there was peace also, save it were the pride which began to enter into the church, not into the church of God, but into the hearts of the people who professed to belong to the church of God. And they were lifted up in pride, even to the persecution of many of their brethren. Now this was a great evil, which did cause the more humble part of the people to suffer great persecutions, and to wade through much affliction. Nevertheless, they did fast and pray oft, and did wax stronger and stronger in their humility, and firmer in the faith of Christ, unto the fulfilling of their souls with joy and consolation, yea, even to the purifying and the sanctification of their hearts, which sanctification cometh because of their yielding their hearts unto God. I don't think this is really much different than what we live in today. You know, we look in the business community, the stock markets has been strong, the stock markets have been up to record levels. We look at businesses overall, businesses are growing. The fastest sector of the business world out there right now is a small business. And that is a direct result of companies being strong, people being strong, people building wealth, and then going out and starting their own businesses. No different than how that we're reading right here. Things are going well. And when things are going well, we tend to think, I'm doing all right. And we tend not to be as close to the Lord, not talk with him as much. But the pride of the world had really started coming in on these people. And it says in the 31st verse, Nevertheless did they fast and pray oft, and did wax stronger and stronger there in humility, and firmer in the faith of Christ. We have to do the same thing. How do we do this? We talk with the Lord. We pray. We pray and we fast, like it says right here. When we are in communication with the Lord, it strengthens us. And we all know that. We have all said our prayers, and we've all seen the blessings of those around us. I want to go to Mosiah, the second chapter, page 220. You know, it's hard trying to plan a sermon because I really don't know how much I should have or what I should do. And I keep looking up at the clock and time is just really ticking by here. So I'm speeding up and I apologize, but I want to get through most of this. Mosiah, the second chapter, starting at the 16th verse, the 16th through the 21st verse. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now if you believe all these things, see that ye do them. And again, I say unto you, as I have said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if ye have known of his goodness and have trusted in his love and have received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls. Even so I would that ye should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness and his goodness and long-suffering towards you, unworthy creatures. And humble yourselves, even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which is spoken by the mouth of the angel. I've got some other scriptures that talk about communicating with the Lord. But I think we look back at examples that we've had of people talking with the Lord. One time as a little kid, Greg Brickhouse and I, we had a paper route together. And man, we thought we were really great. We were making some money, you know, and we were buying bikes, you know, and doing all these things. And growing up, we believed that the Lord will protect us. We said our prayers. And one time we were doing our paper route, and I am absolutely scared to death of big dogs. I'm almost like my dad with cats. I really don't like big dogs. Greg and I are doing our paper route one day, and this huge Great Dane, and I'm not joking, and I don't know, we were probably 10 years old maybe, 12, I don't know. But the dog was almost as big as I was. I mean, it was huge, Great Dane. And we're coming along, and all of a sudden, Greg was just a little bit behind me, and he said, "Look out, here comes this dog." And we take off running. And I really took off running, because I was scared to death. And Greg said, yelled at me, "Stop running, just stand still." And this huge Great Dane, and I am not joking when I say this, he started doing this huge figure eight around us. And I mean, he was just circling us. And every time he'd circle us, he'd brush up against you. And I mean, it was an elephant. And finally, one time, and I know Greg was standing there saying a prayer, and I was standing there saying a prayer. And just at that, just in one instance, the dog took a wider turn. And he went up in another yard. And you could see he was starting to come back. And when he took a wider turn, we took off running. And we got over to Ray's house after that. And it wasn't too far from his house. And we sat there on Ray's front porch. Man, he's just panting, scared to death, looking around, looking for the dog to come over there, which was 5 blocks away. And Greg asked me, Greg said, "Did you pray about it?" Absolutely. And he said he had too. And I know there were other times in our lives with Kyle and Greg and I growing up together. In our younger years, we talked about that. We talked about prayer. We talked about asking the Lord to protect us in those times of when, you know, as a little kid, you know, you think you're lost in the woods, or you know, you get your mom's car stuck somewhere. You pray about it. I want to move on because time is running quickly out. Move on to the fourth point, I just want to ask one question. Why should we talk with God often? And I just have one scripture, or actually two scriptures, and I want to read from the Sermon on the Mount, 3 Nephi, the 8th chapter, starting at the 47th verse, and this is on page 651. In the 47th verse, he's talking to the disciples here, and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and ye are led away captive by him." And then I want to move over to the 50th verse, and here where he starts talking to the multitude. starting at the 50th and the 51st verse. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and saith unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. The Lord has told us to watch and pray always, lest ye be led into temptation. I have another scripture that talks about relying wholly on the Lord, and I'm not going to go into that one. I want to go on to the fourth point. So far, we've talked about a relationship with God has to be passionate and real. Second one, always trust in God. The third one, talk with God often. And the fourth one, praise Him for all that He gives. All that He gives, whether it's good or bad, we have to praise Him for that. We've seen examples of this. My very first sermon, we saw a row of little kids that came up in the front of the room and thanked the local. What a tough thing, to stand up in front of people that you don't really know that well and to thank them. It's inspiring. It should be inspiring for all of us to see these little kids thanking these people. My grandmother Oldham, my granny, we called her Granny. She was, and anybody who knew her knew that she was probably a little bit of a negative person, quite a bit of her life. But she had a huge heart. She loved everyone. They took people into their house all the time. But you know, I remember one thing, and I'm sure I've heard other people say this, but one thing that really sticks out in my mind that my granny always said was that no matter what is going on in our lives, the first thing we should be saying in a prayer is thanking the Lord for the blessings that He gives us, praising Him for the blessings that He gives us. And to know my granny, to know the way she was, it was pretty neat for me to hear that from her. And she did thank Him for everything that she gave to Him. I want to go an example of Job. In Job, the first chapter, starting with the 13th verse. I've just got to get a better system how to mark my book here. And in this, Job is talking about, prior to the portion that I'm going to read, the 13th through the 22nd verse, the Lord is communicating with Satan here, and they're talking about Job, and he's a worthy man, he's a strong man. I think in his time, and I would guess, and I don't know this for sure, but it sounds like probably a pretty wealthy man in some of the things that he had there. Huge family. And Satan is going to throw some things in front of him here. Starting at the 13th verse through the rest of the chapter. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And this is the crucial part here. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Do that? All of this happened. And could you bow down and thank Him for the blessings that He's given to us? You know, we see examples, and I have two examples real quickly. The first is my cousin Holly. And I'm not going to put her on the point spot here. But she is very quick to stand and give praise and thank the Lord for the blessings that He has given to her. A great example for all of us. Another example was my wife, Michelle. And when we lost Kelsey, It was a tough time for us. And it was a time that, in all honesty, I could have seen Michelle go one way or the other. And Michelle was very strong through the whole ordeal. It was our first child, excited, had the room all ready, had everything prepared. And 1 month before she was to be born, she died. And the very first sacrament service that we were at, my wife stood immediately. And I'm not trying to put my wife up on a pedestal, but I'm trying to say she stood up and she gave praise. And she thanked the Lord for the blessings that He had given us through that. And I'm sorry for getting emotional. But to know my wife, she was an emotional wreck prior to that, like anyone would be. And anyone has been in times of trial. But she was quick to stand and thank the Lord for the blessings that He had given to us. And He truly had blessed us. There's no doubt in my mind. I want to read one other scripture, and this is one that I read last time I preached up here. And it's from the second book of Nephi, page 92. The 31st through the 38th verse. And in this, Nephi is testifying here, and he's speaking praises to the Lord for blessing him. And in this time, all of this had gone on. Prior to this, his father had passed away. His brothers are giving him trouble. His family is giving him trouble. And starting at the 31st verse. Nevertheless, notwithstanding the great goodness of the Lord, and showing me His great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am, yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. My soul grieveth because of my iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which doth so easily beset me. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. My God hath been my support. He hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness, and He hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He hath filled me with His love, even unto the consuming of my flesh. He hath confounded mine enemies, unto the causing of them to quake before me. Behold, He hath heard my cry by day, and He hath given me knowledge by visions in the nighttime. And I want to skip over to the 50th verse. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise Thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in Thee, my God, and the rock of my salvation. He's had trials. He was a man no different than any of us. And He praised Him for the blessings that He's given to us. I've talked about four things that I think are just a good steps that we can use, that we can follow to follow our Lord. And now I want to just touch on one last one. And with this strength, with the things that I talked about earlier, with the love that He gives us, we have to share that with others. I want to go to Luke chapter 10. And I read a part of this just a little bit earlier, but I want to go on a little bit farther. An example of a good Samaritan. Starting at the 27th through the 36th verse. And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked at him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? A great example. An example that we've seen in today's life, my Uncle Mike and my Aunt Belinda spent a lot of Friday nights, Saturday nights, going out, feeding the homeless, giving them warm food, coffee, blankets. My Uncle Mike would, there would be something going on here at the church, and he would get all the leftover food and put it in his vehicle. He'd go by Kentucky Fried Chicken down here and get all the leftover chicken for the night and take out there to the people. A great example. Not only are we told to help those that are stand in need, much like the collection that's going to be taken for the family today, but that's also the love and the compassion that we're to show to our brothers and sisters. If you have aught with your brother, if you're upset with someone, you have to go to them, you have to talk to them. Last night we had dinner with my brother and Annie. And Annie told me an example of where she went to someone and said, "Look, I want to get along. I don't want to have problems." And I think we have to do the same thing. And I ask you, and I beg you, if I ever offend anyone, please come and talk to me. I'm not always the smartest guy, and I'm probably not going to figure out that I may have offended you. But I ask you, please come talk to me. And I'll do the same for you. We have to have that open communication with each other, much like we have the communication with our Lord and Savior. Love one another. I want to close in Mosiah, the second chapter, the 24th verse, page 221 in the Book of Mormon. At the 24th verse. "And ye will not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably, and to render to every man according to that which is his due." I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your smile and your attention. I thank you for staying awake and listening to what I had to say. I appreciate everyone coming out today. I hope I haven't embarrassed anyone by mentioning their name. But understand that I love each and every one of you. I truly can say that I do love each and every one of you. And that together we can strengthen each other through our trials and temptations, whether it's good or whether the bad times that we have. We can strengthen each other, and we're here for each other. So know that I love each and every one of you. I thank you for your time. And I will pray for you if you'll pray for me.